All right, well, let's start with some prayer. We have a our monthly prayer for this month coming from Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. And consider what it says as we pray to God by His own words to consider what we should be focusing on. Our Father and Lord Yahweh, we beseech Thee by Thy Spirit to be upon us, to anoint us with the preaching of the gospel and to hear and hearing to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of your vengeance. Comfort us in our mourning and appoint unto us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for our mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called trees of righteousness, which are of thy planting, that thou alone might be glorified. Teach us how we might build the old waste places, raise up the former desolations, and repair the waste cities, which have been desolations for many generations. Amen. And so our first psalm is a psalm of praise. We're going to start with, it's right on the inside of the loose leaf pamphlet, to our praise tune of Psalm 100, which fits well for just about any praise tune. And so there's one long meter catch to this tune, and that is R. The word R is broken up. And so Scottish metrical psalms, you just got to roll with them. So I think we all know this tune well enough.
Through long from thy precepts were reproach and shame removed from me. For I thy laws observe. Against me
delight thy testimonies be, and they in all my doubts and fears are counselors to me. You always learn something new in Psalm 119. So even though when you're doubting and fearing, the testimonies, the covenants of God are to be your counselor, your teacher. That's a good thing to remember. We also have Psalm 7 out of our Psalter, which is in our lineup this morning. We're just going to sing A for today, and we'll save B for next week. This is to the tune of King's Fold. Might want to hum that one out.
Oh, Lord. so shall the assembly of thy folk abound and confess thee. Thou therefore for their sakes return unto thy place on high. The Lord, he shall the people judge, my judge Jehovah be. After my righteousness and mine integrity in me.
Amen. And so we'll end there with our psalms. And I think that's a pretty fitting song for some of what we're going to discuss today and what we've been talking about as far as how to identify oppression in the nation. Definitely something to discuss and think about. We're going to have our first resuscitation out of Genesis chapter 27, starting in verse 46. This is going to greatly correspond to what we are going to be covering today, which is why it was chosen for our Old Testament reading. And I'd like to kind of keep track of some of the things that are said in these two particular readings. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and he charged him, and he said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land whereof thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. And we'll continue in Genesis 29, 10 through 15 also, which is a condensed version. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. But Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his eyes, and he wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him a space of a month, and Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? This is important because as we've been reading in Leviticus chapter 25, these concepts predate Moses, that your brother serves you as a hired servant and not as a stranger. And you can see the familial connection between Laban and Jacob in this context. Well, we know the story didn't go as great as it should have. It's important to remember brotherly love is represented there as it should be, though Laban was not a faithful man, so he did not attach himself to Jacob correctly. But it's good to notice and things that we should also consider. On the very next page here, there's something I also want to make a point of as we go through a resuscitation out of the New Testament. So on the very next page, it says a lesson from Matthew 17, 24 through 26. It's a lesson from Matthew 17, 23, 24, 26. Jesus himself taught this. And it's on the very next page in the loose-leaf pamphlet. And it's also condensed so that we can interact in convocation. Jesus said, and so let us ask and learn. What thinkest thou, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?
Of strangers.
Jesus saith, then are the children free. Notice what that says. Jesus himself taught that only the kings of the earth take tribute from strangers. And then when that is done, that's how you know the children of the kingdom are free. So Christ did not disagree with the concepts we've been studying, and I think that's important to consider. So we're going to continue on to Bible study, and hang on to your loose leaf pamphlet as we will be going back through it after Bible study. We're going to end right here for Bible study, and we'll come back here in just a little bit and finish our singing and our recitations from 1 John chapter 4. All right, well, we'll pick back up. Stand for the reading of God's Word in 1 John chapter 4. And we will sing Psalm 89b. Start in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him.
Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit.
And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in him loveth
in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
We love him because he first loved us.
If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?
And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Amen. So I'll draw some attention to the fact that seeing is what he's mentioning. If you can't love your brother who you can see, who looks like you, then you don't understand something about the Christian faith. Just what John teaches us. Well, we have a psalm to end off with from Psalm 89. I've been working through 89 the last few weeks here. I really enjoy this psalm. And interestingly enough, as we were going through it this morning, there's even a connection to what we're talking about here in this section. Why don't we hum out some the tune to Dunlap's Creek. Lesson for a while, and so I decided to go back today because of its connection to what John said in 1 John 4 and some of what we talked about to Ignatius of Antioch. So at the very end of our loose leaf handout, Ignatius of Antioch wrote about 107 AD. That is a pretty early writing of what we're going to read, and so I just recently had a discourse with someone who insisted that the 4th century was when the doctrine of the virgin birth was invented. There are people that don't believe in the virgin birth, but they claim to believe the Bible. And Ignatius kind of destroys that idea. That's just stupid, because in 107, Ignatius of Antioch fully acknowledged the bodily manifestation of Christ born of a virgin and of his pre-existence. So it was not invented in the 4th century. So I'll give you a little information on Ignatius of Antioch. He was a bishop and martyr who, with the church of his age, were in opposition to Gnostic heretics, which we are still in opposition with. And they resolved that the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ into an unreal and a delusive show, or what they called to be a phantom. Therefore, these words were confessed and affirmed by believers who did not agree with them. And so Ignatius said it like this from one of his writings. And you can feel free to say it with me if you'd like. Be deaf, therefore, when any would speak to you apart from the marriage with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was descended from the family of David, born of Mary, who truly was born, both of God and of the Virgin, truly taken a body for the Word. He became flesh and dwelt among us without sin, ate and drank truly, truly suffered persecution under Pontius Pilate, was truly and not in appearance only crucified and died, who was also truly raised from the dead and rose after 3 days, his Father raising him up. And after having spent 40 days with the apostles, was received up to the Father and sits on the right hand, waiting till his enemies are put under his feet.
And so there is a great many reasons why Ignatius' testimony is good to remember, regardless of where we would agree or disagree with him and other writings or however that would work. It points out that at a very early time in Christian history that people truly believed that Christ was the Son of God. They truly believed that he was descended from the family of David, so his kingly origin, his fleshly makeup was important. He was not just a phantom. He actually was an Israelite man born to the tribe of Judah, of the family of David. He was born of Mary, who was of that stock. He was really born. He wasn't fakely born. He was both born of God, by the substance of God, and of the Virgin, that he truly took a body for the Word of God, as John 1:1 speaks about it in John 1:14. He became flesh and he dwelt among us, which is a direct quote from the Scriptures, without sin, that he ate and he drank truly. In other words, he really ate food, really drank wine. He really suffered persecution under Pontius Pilate. A historical Christ is what that's affirming, that he was a man in history. He's not just a figment of our imagination. That he was truly and not in appearance only crucified and died, because some of the Gnostics believed that if Christ was really some spiritual being, he could never have died. He could never be crucified. He had no real body. He was also truly then raised from the dead and arose after 3 days. His Father raised him up, that the Father in heaven actually conducted the power to raise him up. After having spent 40 literal days with his apostles, he was received up to the Father, and he really does right now sit on the right hand of God, and he really does wait until all his enemies are made his footstool. And so I think that's important, because you will in your life bump into a great many people who will just simply not believe what that says, and they'll say, well, that was created along a historical line, and it was invented by the Catholic Church or some such thing like that, when in fact the earliest Christians were confessing such things and already fighting against distortions of that doctrine. And so I hope to start offering historical lessons again. It's just sometimes hard to get that reading in whenever you have a busy week for getting something prepared like that. So I thought that was a good one to go over. We're going to ask Christian to give us a prayer for lunch, and if you're ready for it.
Yeah, I'm ready. Dear God, thank you again for another day. This is the day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. And Lord, thank you again for another week that's gone by and for another Sabbath. I continue to ask that you would give us deeper understanding of Fourth Commandment, Lord, and applying it into our lives. And dear Lord, thank you for today's message. Thank you for your word that came from your breath, God. And please help us to meditate on it and to think on it. anyone that listens in, that you would cause them to think about this seriously. And Lord, all the families right now that we know that are in medical needs, I pray that you'd help them, God. Help them to trust in you in this time of their life. And I pray for healing for them, that they would heal quickly and get back to work and get back to the things that they need to take care of in their life. And please give them peace and contentness during this time. And Lord, just continue to ask us to help us to love you more and to love our neighbor as ourselves more. And please bless this food that we're about to eat. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.